May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the years, we Christians have got ourselves into a muddle with passages like our epistle today. The call to endure unjust suffering following the example of Christ has been used over the centuries to keep women with violent husbands, to defend chattel slavery, or in myriad other ways to keep people in their place and defend unjust structures and power relationships. In response, other Christians have focused on Jesus' message of justice, the raising up of the poor and the powerless and the marginalized in the kingdom of God. They've sought to sideline or even reject scripture, such as our epistle today, as a betrayal of Jesus' revolutionary message. So what are we to make of these words from the Apostle Peter to the young Christians dispersed across Asia Minor? I want to reclaim them as the word of encouragement and hope for Christian believers in a broken world that I believe the Apostle Peter meant them to be when he wrote them. What do I mean? What is hopeful or encouraging about suffering? Well, for a start, there is something, if not exactly hopeful, but refreshing, about Peter's acknowledgement of the existence of unjust suffering. To a greater and lesser extent, this is something we all know to be true. Not just for others, for the world, though it is evident in every news report, but in our own lives too. You may have a particular memory that's coming to your mind where you have suffered unjustly. Or maybe it is something you are experiencing right now. Sometimes things are bad and something can be done to make them better. Something should be done to make them better. As Christians, we have a responsibility to make the world more like the good creation that God intended it to be. But I've come to learn through bitter experience that in this life, not everything can be made right. That in the short run of this life, good does not always conquer evil, that the wicked can flourish and the good can suffer. That sometimes we suffer not as punishment for what we've done wrong, but in spite or even because we have done the right thing. And I know that in my own times of trouble like that, it's actually been a relief that my faith doesn't require me to pretend that that doesn't happen. But again, you might ask, where is the actual hopeful and encouraging part? Well, Peter addressed this part of his epistle to a group of Christians who were particularly vulnerable to the whims and vagaries of the powerful. He was addressing domestic servants. It was a common and acceptable practice at the time for masters to beat their servants. So Peter's words to these servants spoke directly into their actual experience of physical and not just metaphorical beatings. What he told these servants was that though their suffering may be arbitrary, it is not meaningless. In a world where bad things happen to good people, God can redeem suffering. The key to this passage is found in verses 20 and 21, where Peter tells his fellow believers that if they suffer for doing what is right, they will have God's approval. Because suffering in this way is to follow the example that Christ set for us all in his suffering. Peter goes as far to say that this is our calling as Christians. This is not a stoic message about the nobility of suffering. He doesn't say that suffering makes us stronger or better. Peter says rather that our suffering is redeemed by God and is as an example of Christ's righteousness in the world. Just as Christ's suffering stands as an open rebuke to the forces of evil and sin in the world, so too can ours when we too suffer unjustly. Suffering happens. Suffering is real. But if we follow Christ, none of our unjust suffering is for nothing. We are encouraged in our modern rational scientific world to think that life is arbitrary and meaningless, that stuff happens. But what Peter told these domestic servants for the first time in the early days of Christianity is true for us too in our lives as followers of Christ 2,000 years later. And it is just as revolutionary now as it was then. That through our identification with Christ in his suffering and death, we too can be a part of God's purposes for the whole world. That our lives are not worthless or meaningless or arbitrary, but they are a part of God's purposes to make all things new. Amen.